So, as I mentioned before, we're going to have a dedication in just a few minutes, but before we do, Miss Ariel Alida Leonetti, I want to look at the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Last week we saw through the whole of Scripture how God encourages us and challenges us and equips us to sing to Him. We're called to sing, and just like we're called to share and to cast a wider net and tell people about the Lord, we're called to sing, and we talked about that last Sunday. It's time and time again in the Bible. We saw entire books of the Bible devoted to singing and how many patriarchs and women of God sang songs to the Lord and wrote songs to the Lord. And one of those poet, singer, songwriters was a woman named Hannah, or as we would say in English, Hannah, whose name's derived from the Hebrew word meaning grace or one to whom favor is shown. And last week we acknowledged Hannah's song that she wrote and dedicated when she dedicated her son to the Lord. So ahead of our baby dedication this morning, I want to look at this backstory. I want to look at Hannah's story. So we're going to read quite a few verses in 1 Samuel 1. So just stay with me. We'll have it up on the screen here. 1 Samuel 1. Now there was a certain man. His name was Elkanah, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. And it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her so that she wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh, and she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, the priest, was watching her mouth, as for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving. And Eli said to her, supposing that she was drunk, he said, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, no, my Lord, I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I've neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I've spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, don't I feel stupid? No, he didn't answer that. It's just seeing if you're awake. Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you've asked of him. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So Hannah brought Samuel to the house of the Lord in Shiloh and said, ah, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying. Remember the one that you said was drunk? I'm the woman who was here praying. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him, so I also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he's dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Father in heaven, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the testimonies we heard of lives who've been affected by your word, of lives of people who have come to know you, Lord, and how they're trying to share your love and that knowledge with the people around them. Father, I pray as we look at your word now for just a few minutes, you'll help us to know you more, you'll help us to know you better, and you'll give us hearts to respond to your word this morning by your grace through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as we consider Hannah's story this morning, it's worth noting at the outset here, there's like this awkwardness to the story, right? Right from the outset. This guy has two wives, right? Doesn't say he had one wife, says he has two wives, and it's a little bit awkward, and it's like, what in the world is this? And you look at this, you say, what is this? They had like, you know, polygamy in the scripture, what's going on? But I love how God doesn't just hide the fallenness of man. I love how God says, you look at these messed up people in this messed up situation, and if there's hope for them, let me tell you, there's hope for you, and there's hope for me in our situation this morning. And it's off-putting to us, but God wants us to know there's hope. And verse 5 says that the Lord closed her womb. The Lord closed her womb. Twice it said it. What do you do when the Lord closes your womb? What do you do when the Lord himself shuts a door in your life that you would like to be open? What do you do when the circumstances of your life don't work out in the way that you had planned or in the time that you had planned? And there on the other side of the equation is the Lord saying, hey, I'm closing this off. I'm shutting this door. What do you do? Notice Hannah doesn't lash out when she's provoked like I can tend to do, or like Tyler used to do on the road when people would take his parking space. She doesn't lash out. It's not what it says. Instead, it says Hannah weeps and loses her appetite. Verse 6 says, her rival would provoke her bitterly so that she wept and would not eat. How many of you know it's okay to weep in the middle of life's disappointments? Some of those people yesterday who we reached out to and say, can we pray for you? Some of them were weeping in the middle of life's disappointments. Now, the Lord doesn't direct her rival to provoke her, but the Lord is the one who had closed her womb. We know that Elkanah, we know how he responded. You could title this message, what not to say to your grieving wife, or maybe stupid things that husbands come up with in the middle of their wife grieving that they should never say or do. Elkanah, whose very name means jealous one, becomes somewhat envious of Hannah's affections for the idea of having a son. And he says, am I not worth to you more than 10 sons? Pro tip for husbands, when your wife is crying, don't try and tell her how great you are. It's not going to end well, I promise. I think that's a word from the Lord for someone today. So the Lord closed her womb. Her rival is taunting her. Her husband is failing miserably at trying to encourage her or console her. How would Hannah respond? Verse 10 says, she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord. What do you do when life disappoints you? What do you do when your enemy provokes you? What do you do when your closest comforter acts like a knucklehead and can only think of himself? What do you do? Hannah takes her complaint to the Lord. And if anybody's supposed to understand her or help her, it ought to be the priest, right? It ought to be the priest or somebody at church who could help her out in this situation. And what does Hannah receive in return for her honest, humble prayer before the Lord? From Eli the priest? Misunderstanding, misrepresentation, judgment. How long will you make yourself drunk, he asks her. Scripture says Eli's watching Hannah, but her voice was not heard. He was watching, but he didn't hear her voice. And he doesn't perceive what's going on and makes assumptions based on his misunderstanding. Don't you just love it when people make wrong assumptions based on their misunderstanding? Try being a pastor someday. How would Hannah respond? In this moment, she responds with a little communication. Mr. Eli, sir, I'm not drunk as you suppose. I'm hurting and I'm coming from this place of provocation and rejection and I'm here to lay my complaint before the Lord. I'm pouring out my soul to God, she says. You might even want to pray for me, priest. And then she walks away. She communicates to God. First, she lays her complaint before him. Then she communicates to the person, right? and she walked away with a changed perspective. Verse 18 says, her face was no longer sad. Her face was no longer sad after she took time to communicate to the Lord and communicate to the person next to her who was misjudging her and mistreating her. Her face, in the middle of her challenge, after laying out her complaint before the Lord, her face was no longer sad. She's in a tough marriage. God dealt with her differently than she would have chosen. Her enemies taunting her. Her husband's thinking about himself. People at church, the pastor at church is mistreating her. But she takes it all and lays it before the Lord. She risks communicating one more time, and she goes away in peace. It says she went her way, and her face was no longer sad. Now tell me, what had changed in her situation? What had changed with her and her rival? What had changed with her and her husband? Did she miraculously have a son appear? No. Did her rival become her BFF all of a sudden? No. Did her self-centered husband suddenly become selfless and Christ-like? I don't think so. Did the priest become radically different, a different kind of shepherd than maybe the one he had been? Probably not, but I'll say that her humility and communication definitely helped there. But the biggest change that occurs to this point isn't the fundamentals of Hannah's situation, but rather the focus of Hannah's attention. That's what changed. And as a result, her face was no longer sad. Nothing had changed in her situation, but her face was no longer sad. And maybe somebody here today has a sad face. Maybe you've been provoked by your rival. Maybe you've been misjudged by someone at church. Maybe your spouse isn't supporting you in the way that your spouse ought to be supporting you. Maybe your womb has been closed. Literally or figuratively, I don't know, but God knows. Maybe things just aren't working out for you the way you thought they would in this season of life or in this COVID world and this pandemic that's going on. But I'm here to testify to you today. And this account of grace at work in a broken and hurting woman's life bears witness to the reality that if little or nothing changes in your circumstances or in the fundamentals of your circumstance, absolutely everything can change with your perspective. If God and not you, if God and not other people's offensive behavior, if God and not the circumstances becomes the focus of your attention, if you go to the Lord with your complaint, if you'll risk humble communication with the person next to you, you too can have peace today. Even if your rival is still taunting you, you can have peace. Even if your husband is being selfish, you can still have peace, and you can walk away instead of with a sad face. You can walk away with contentment in your heart and peace in your life. Even if the situation doesn't change in the way that you thought it should at the time that you thought it should. Would you be willing to take in your fallen and flawed circumstances, the broken pieces of your life, your pains and disappointment, the offenses, the misjudgments and the mistreatments that you've experienced, would you be willing to take it all to the Lord today? Because if you're willing to, you too can walk away with peace. Your heart and your face no longer have to be sad. Hannah doesn't shed her sadness because the Lord answered her prayer, but when he does answer her prayer, she responds to him with singing. She doesn't have peace because the situation changed. She's no longer sad and walks away with peace because she was changed. Who's offended today? Who has a sad face today? Who's been hurt by someone else? Who has a self-centered spouse? I'm here to tell you that if you'll go to the Lord in your grief, you can walk away with peace. You can pray right here. Listen, Jesus prayed. He made an altar out of a garden in which he was having the worst night of his life. He's having people who won't stand by his side and can't tarry 1 hour with him. He's got people running away shortly, fleeing from him. He makes the cross an altar of prayer where he lays it all down before the Father. So I know it's a COVID world and we're not congregating in prayer a lot after services, but listen, you don't have to come to this altar here. If Jesus can make the cross or the Garden of Gethsemane an altar, you can make an altar out of your car or out of the parking lot at Waldbaum's or wherever it is. You can cry out to God where you are, and though nothing in your circumstance may have changed, God can change your perspective if only you'll take it to him. And later, when some time had passed, at just the right time, the scripture says in verse 20, in due time, can you say in due time? In due time, not at a time of Hannah's choosing, nor does God answer our prayers at a time of our choosing, but in due time, Hannah conceived, and after she conceived, she gave birth to a son in due time. How many of you know that due time and due dates, we still use that expression today. You know, when are you due? When is the baby due? When's the time the baby's supposed to be born? But due time and due dates don't always coincide. And every expectant mother said amen. Doesn't come on your timetable, but it comes in the fullness of time by God's design. And when the barrenness of pain is finally over, when the taunts of the enemy aren't any longer effective at making your face sad, after you've gone to the Lord with your grief and labored to produce life, to bear fruit because God's chana, God's grace is on your life, it's time for you to give back, and that's what Hannah did. It's time for you to give back. So she gave back to the Lord in song, and she gave back to the Lord with her son. She said, you know what? This is God's gift to me. I'm just going to give it right back to you. I'm going to worship you for what you've done, and I'm going to give right back to you what you've given to me. And this morning, there's another mother who's singing. There's another mother who's smiling behind that mask because God provided for her. She's joined by her husband, and this morning, they're going to dedicate their divine blessing to the glory of God here in the presence of the Leonetti family and the church family. I'm going to invite them to come up now and bring Ariel Elida with them as they come. And I think I have a mask here somewhere.